so much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman on a very chilly day in Florida, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by 1-800-DIALDJs.com and recorded live from the world's new media capital and the former headquarters of short-lived CrossGen Comics, Tampa Bay, Florida. I remember the first time I encountered Archie, Jughead, Betty, Veronica, Reggie Moose, not Reggie Moose, but Reggie and Moose, Mr. Weatherby, Miss Grundy, Hot Dog, and the rest of the Riverdale gang. It was, I believe, in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, 1971, and we were visiting our cousins, the Sorotkins. Fred Sorotkin, the youngest of the three children, had a basement filled with shelf after shelf of neatly ordered comic books. It was nirvana for me, and probably still would be if not for the great flood that hit Wilkes-Barre a year later, obliterating Fred's collection and everything else in the water's path. A fast forward to January 2010, and America's oldest teenager, Archie Andrews, sorry Dick Clark, you're no teenager anymore, has graduated college and announced his engagement to Betty Cooper. Now, the writer of this six-part series, which takes us through the character's future, is as much a surprise, perhaps, as Archie choosing girl next door Betty over girl with a billion bucks, Veronica. His name is Michael Uslan, and while he's written a few comic books before, he's basically been known as an executive producer behind some of the biggest comic book movies of all time, including Batman and, most recently, The Dark Knight. This is Michael's second visit to Mr. Media. He was previously a guest to discuss the Spirit movie, of which he was also a producer. Michael, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thanks so much, Bob. It's great to be here again.
Good to have you. Happy New Year.
Thanks, and you too.
Let's get to it. Did Archie truly marry Betty? Can we believe our eyes?
Well, let's say, if you were dating the same two girls for just over 68 years, don't you think it's time to make a choice? It's kind of funny, Bob, how this whole thing came about. And it is inspired, and I must say this going in, predominantly by Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. And it explores two futures for Archie Andrews, one of which will come to pass. And the first three issues of our story arc was Archie marrying Veronica, and the second three issues, Archie marrying Betty, with a lovely epilogue that brings it all to a conclusion at the end. But I thought it was time to explore the consequences of one's actions as a teenager, and as you move into college and start to get post-college, what goes into the concept of choosing a mate? What goes into the concept of a successful marriage? So thematically, we're really exploring some wonderful things here. But for the readers, and I really don't care if you were a reader of Archie in the 40s and 50s, in the 60s and 70s, or in the 21st century, this is designed to be a story that parents and grandparents who were Archie readers can sit and read with their children and grandchildren. So, yeah, it was time for Archie to make a decision, and now you get to see what happens when it goes either way.
It's kind of funny. I mean, so a decision's been made, but no decision's been made at all.
Well, you know, it really is going to be, like in everything in life, up to the actions and lack of actions among these three people for the next few years. What they say, what they fail to say, that's going to determine which of these two futures is going to be the one that will come to pass. And it's interesting to me that, and I wanted to start by exploring Archie's future with Veronica and what that would be like in light of the world in which we live, in which, I guess in the real world, you would say Brad picked Angela over Jennifer. And in our first three issues, we have a look at Archie picking Veronica over Betty. And two things that I would probably add to that. One is, a very wise man once told me that 90% of all your happiness and unhappiness in life will come from a choice of mate. And I believe that. And I think that really, truly is important. And then the other thing being, you know, what elements do you look for in a mate? Do you look at the exotic girl walking by? Do you look for somebody who's also your best friend? And we even explore self-esteem issues with Betty. Maybe she deserves somebody better than Archie.
Hmm. It is interesting what you say about, you know, how your mate really has a huge impact on the way your future will go.
It's true, and it's not just the couple. It's all your friends and family. It has a butterfly effect on people's lives. So what we explore over these seven issues deal with what happens to Jughead and Moose and Midge and Archie and Betty and Veronica's families and everybody in town. And people have been surprised, delighted, and shocked to see how different the lives of Dilton and Reggie and other ones turn out depending on which girl Archie winds up with.
Mm. Now, in Archie and Betty, in their three-story arc, they skip over the honeymoon because they can't afford it. I don't want to give anything more away, but in doing so, are we skipping over the issue of whether these characters finally had sex, or do we know if they ever had sex before?
You certainly do, because in the third issue, you're going to find out that Betty.
I didn't want to give that away.
It's okay. It's okay. It does happen from time to time. But yes, we take the Archie story certainly one step beyond anything that's ever been taken before.
Now, you can't pick favorites, I suspect, but, you know, it's just us talking, Michael. Who do you think Archie should really wind up with?
I really think it's an individual decision, and what cracks me up completely is this has become a firestorm in the media on a worldwide basis. There must be some 50,000 postings on the Internet at this point. The Today Show ran a poll as to who Archie should marry. And the results that they had, and it was tens of thousands of people responding, ran about approximately 80% Betty, 20% Veronica, but they did mention that Jughead came in a strong third. And I think that the tendency for people is to root for the girl next door. Root for the girl who's always been there but hasn't quite been noticed so much. The girl who really, you know, goes all out with the heart of gold to help everybody, to be nice, and to be a guy's best friend. And when you're 18 years old or 22 years old, a guy may not quite understand that a best friendship might be the best basis, the best foundation for a marriage, you know, especially when the rich, good-looking chick walks by. So there are so many issues to explore from not just the guy side, but from the female point of view as well. And we do that, and we have fun doing that. But we're trying to bring up some topics and deal with some themes that might resonate for the teens and preteens who read the comic books.
Has anyone complained that by giving the future, Archie's future, with either or with both of them, one way or the other, that it was kind of a cop-out?
No, they really haven't, because they do understand, and we were very careful going in. The setup was, in past Archie comics, he has walked down memory lane. And when he walks down memory lane, he winds up in Riverdale's past. And that's a device that has been used fairly often over the years at Archie. For the first time, I had him walk up memory lane and into his future, and it was there through this yellow wood he found two roads diverged. And he chose one path and left the other one for another day to explore. So that was the setup going in. And I think people are fascinated by it. But probably the two of the best things that have come out of this is that people who didn't even know comic books were being published anymore and had no idea where you could go to find and buy comic books in the general public, and I mean on a worldwide basis, they have learned that comic books are still out there and they're vibrant. And they've also learned that Archie is still being published. He is still vibrant and vital, even though he's just coming up to his 70th anniversary. And he's still with the same gang at the same malt shop in the same car on the same beach in the same school going through his antics. But somehow, amazingly, they're still relevant today, and they still impact kids' perceptions of what high school will be like and dating will be like. So that to me has been really, really interesting. I guess some of the biggest reactions we've had have come from India, China, Australia, England, Canada, Kenya, just all over the map. People have really taken an interest in this storyline and been very passionate about it. I love some of the postings on the web where adults going on and on and on about how angry they are when he was marrying Veronica and why and what this means to them. And then at the end of this diatribe, they go, I don't understand why I'm so crazed about this and why it means so much to me, but it really does. And I think Archie has a very, very special spot in the hearts of many generations of people.
I guess I didn't realize that Archie was such an international character. I thought he was fairly uniquely American.
So did I. But then again, I also thought that about Westerns and learned that the other was true. It's particularly interesting to me to find this huge, huge following in India. There's something about Archie that captures American culture to the world. And it's not like they haven't seen Archie before in different media. It's been called different things. For a while, it was called Happy Days, and Archie's name was Richie Cunningham, but that was Archie.
Oh, right, right.
For a while,
right.
It was called Saved by the Bell. Now, lately, it's been called High School Musical. Even Grease had a little bit of Archie to it. So there have been a lot of kind of, let's call them inspirations, coming from Archie Comics. But as a result of the huge, huge sales in India, Archie Comics has opened up an office in that country. And they're selling millions of copies of the comics over there.
Wow. And, you know, the last couple of years, Archie Comics has made some attempts to bring the story forward, modernize a bit. There was some press, I don't know, it was a year or two ago, maybe it was longer, about changing the art style in the comics.
Yeah, right. They did that. I thought it was an interesting experiment. They didn't do it with all their comics. They took a few here and a few there and tried it out. I saw a few that were done kind of anime style.
Right.
So to me, it's really cool to experiment and to try new things and to reach out to new audiences, particularly the younger people today who are avid readers of manga, which are the Japanese comic books. If you go into a Barnes & Noble or a Borders or any of those store chains after school on any weekday, you will see among the shelves of manga next to the graphic novels, which are American, scores of kids laying there, you know, reading them, and many of them being female.
Right.
Manga has seemed to capture the young female audience that American comic books appear to have given up to some degree. And Archie taps into that audience as well, so that's been very interesting to see.
Well, my 13-year-old daughter, who's very into the website Gaia, GAIA.com, for those who haven't seen it, which is very heavy on anime and manga. I mentioned this to you, I think, when we connected to do this interview, that we were on vacation a few weeks ago, and she picked up this Archie 603, which is the cover is Archie putting an engagement ring on Betty's finger, and you know, a couple of days later, I read through it because, of course, it's a comic book. I'm going to read it. And I go back and I thought, well, who wrote this? And there you are. And it's like, I got to ask. I mean, what's a big time Hollywood guy like yourself doing with Archie? I know you've done superhero stuff, but, you know, Archie?
Well, I'll tell you, the origin of this is really, you know, one day I was shaving and I said, boy, is my hair getting gray. And then I said, you know, I have this long list of things I always wanted to do since I was a kid. And one of them it's like the old proverbial bucket list. One of the things I always wanted to do was write an Archie. I've written Batman comics. I've written The Spirit. I wrote The Question. I wrote a lot of comics, The Shadow, based on characters that I love since I was a kid. And never did an Archie. So I went to see the president of Archie, Victor Gorelick, and said, Victor, I'd like to write an important Archie story, like a graphic novel. He says, great, what would you like to do? I said, Archie gets married. And he looked at me like I was insane. He says, you can't do that. I said, why not? He says, well, and he couldn't come up with an answer. So he and I sat down, and I told him what I wanted to do, and he had some great, great ideas. And next thing I know, they gave me the go-ahead, and it all kicked off in the landmark issue, Archie number 600, because so few comic book characters, without interruption, have ever reached number 600 in their publication.
Mm.
But that was the genesis.
So I should stop being cynical, because I was thinking that, knowing your film background, that maybe this was an effort by the publisher or by yourself to bring this character a little further forward and let Hollywood know that hey, these are still viable characters, and here's some things that could happen with them if you thought about bringing them into another medium. Again.
Well, that was not the intent going in, but it certainly is one of the effects, because Archie has gotten very active in Hollywood, and why not? You know, when you go back and look, let's take animation, for example. You remember the old Archie Filmation cartoons back in the late 60s and early 70s. Those things were doing 75% shares on CBS when they were running. The Archies had the number one hit of 1969 with Sugar Sugar, and they had about three or four top 10 hits. They were important, they were significant, they were successful. So the fact that they've been resting for a long time in terms of animation and have never been tapped in terms of live action, it just made all the sense in the world. It's a great, great stable of characters, and it has wonderful potential. And, yeah, it's true for those of you out there who may be movie buffs. Archie was directly inspired by Andy Hardy and that mm-hmm. series of movies, Henry Aldrich and the radio shows. But I think it has touched a nerve, and it's got some great stuff and great stories and characters that I think should be explored.
So does this mean you will be involved further in perhaps a film or TV future for Archie?
So how about them Yankees? When does spring training start in Tampa?
Come on now. It's just me and you talking here, Michael. Nobody else can hear us.
I would love to see them done well, done relevantly. I think it could be a lot of fun. And I have my fingers crossed, hoping that they do something great.
Are there a lot of restrictions? I mean, you said that you spoke to Victor directly and said, here's what I want to do. Are there a lot of restrictions when you write an Archie story? I mean, they don't seem to be as, I think we think of Marvel Comics as being heavily reliant on continuity of story and things making sense, even over decades apart. The Batman and Superman a little less so. They restart their universes, it seems like, every decade, and throw out a lot of continuity. Are there issues with Archie that you have to abide?
There are a few, not too many, but most of what you have to abide by, if you've been a fan of Archie or a reader of Archie over the course of your lifetime, is to respect the integrity of the characters. When I sat down to write it, it practically wrote itself, because you just instinctively know how they would react. You know what Archie would do, what Archie wouldn't do. You know what Jughead, the kind of things he would say and how he would say them. It just really, really, truly wrote itself, because the characters are so rich and over the years have really been consistent in terms of that tone. So I didn't have a problem with that, and I was able to put a layer of my own life into it and my own experiences growing up, my own experiences with my kids, and a lot of the various influences in my life, have been incorporated there, and some of my own philosophies coming through the mouths of the different characters. So it was fun to do that, but always making sure that even though we're telling a story that takes place about 4 or 5 years in the future, it starts at college graduation day, that the characters are consistent. But it's true that 4 or 5 years from now, like any real people, Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, Moose, Stilton, Reggie, would be a little bit more evolved, maybe a little bit more mature than they are when they're in high school. So I did try to carry that through, especially with Veronica. When he marries Veronica, I didn't simply want her 4 or 5 years from now to be the same, it's all about me, 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 me character that she was in high school. I wanted to show that Archie and Veronica, as a married couple, would have the potential to be happy, and that money isn't necessarily the root of that happiness. Even though we live in a horrible economy, terrible economy, one of the issues we dealt with in the Veronica story arc is, well, do you marry for love, or do you marry for money and security, or do you do what my college roommate's father told him, which was, son, marry for love, but if she happens to have a lot of money, that's not a bad thing.
Now, you mentioned that in the storyline there are some more personal references. One of them was kind of a negative reference to movie producers, I noticed.
Yeah, if you can't make fun of yourself and what you do, you're really in a bad spot. I have sprinkled me throughout there.
Oh, there's another reference that I liked, and it's the only other one that I'll point out, but there's another reference in there to another, let's see, we have, I guess, Veronica, sort of brunette, dark-haired girl, Betty is blonde, and there's a reference to one of the most famous redheaded girlfriends in comics, Mary Jane from Spider-Man, although
there
it's not directly referenced. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of what I try to do here was put in a lot of references and some in-jokes that people who weren't comic book fans or haven't been Archie fans for decades, where they wouldn't interfere with their reading of the story, but those of us who have been around the block a few times and are really into comics, have been, you know, into Archie for a long time, you know, just little winks of the eye saying, hey, you know, I'm with you here, and this is reflective of the history, and have some fun with this on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
When Archie goes up memory lane, when he goes down memory lane initially, he runs into a Riverdale that kind of evokes the 40s, and if you look at the names of everything from the streets to the stores, everyone is tied into, in some way, shape, or form, the history of Archie. And that's just typical of what I try to add to it.
All right. Well, since we have you, and I was hoping in the remaining moments we could talk about movies a little bit. I'm kind of curious. You've been a rights holder on a lot of things over the years. What's in production with you right now? What properties do you control that you're trying to get into production at this point?
Well, you know, you develop as a producer a slate of projects that you work on. And it is not an instantaneous process. Most of the big tentpole, big franchise movies I've ever developed and worked on have taken, you know, 9 and 10 years, sometimes even longer than that. So it's a very long, complex process to get a movie developed, financed, and distributed. What I like to do, as you know, is to take those properties that I loved as a kid and make them into my work today as an adult. When I spoke recently at a major university, a young lady got up in the audience and said, well, what exactly is your job? And I said, well, every day I report to a sandbox and play with my favorite toys. And that really kind of describes what I do and why I love what I do. So in addition to Batman, I'm developing The Shadow with Sam Raimi and Josh Donnan, which I'm very excited about. And just like I knew Bob Kane, I know Jerry Robinson, I knew Bill Finger on Batman, the people most responsible for the creation. I knew Walter Gibson, who was the driving creative force behind The Shadow.
Right.
We're doing Captain Marvel, Shazam, with Pete Siegel and Michael Ewing. And I was very close to Otto Binder, who was the primary writer of Captain Marvel throughout the 1940s and 50s, who then, as a kid, he introduced me, I think it was in seventh grade, via the mail to C.C. Beck, who was the co-creator of Captain Marvel, and to many of the people who worked on that character in the 40s, and I started ongoing correspondences with them. So that was something very significant to me. Doc Savage is another one coming up. Terry and the Pirates is another one coming up. If Batman was the greatest comic book to me, Terry and the Pirates was the greatest comic strip to me. So, again, I'm trying to take what I love and make it my work.
Will there ever be a Constantine 2?
Yes, I am looking forward to that happening.
Okay, I know that was on the list before. You know, the characters that you mentioned, I mean, the Shadow, huge fan of that. I don't know, is it okay to come out and acknowledge publicly that you actually liked the original Shadow movie with Alec Baldwin? I still thought that was very good. I'm sure whatever is done next will be very different from that, but just a fun...
Well, I was not as excited about that as you were.
Okay.
There was a moment in time, and it's been probably, 10 years since I saw it, but there was a specific moment when it lost me. When Siobhan Khan reappears out of the past and encounters Lamont Cranston, and there was a scene, I think it went something like, he turns to Cranston and says, nice suit, where you get? And Cranston says to him, Brooks Brothers. And Siobhan Khan looks at him and says, downtown or uptown?
All right, yeah.
Kind of lost me at that moment.
You know what? I don't disagree with that at all. My thing was I went into it so excited, the idea of the Shadow on film, and there have been so many interpretations of that character. It was just fun to sit through. But, yeah, there were a lot of problems with it, but I still like to go back and watch it again.
Which is great. You know, we're going to come at it a lot more seriously.
Good.
And
good.
A lot more intensely. And very, very pleased with how things are developing there.
Now, a lot of people, I think, felt that there were elements of the Christian Bale Batman that seemed to take root in some of the Shadow story, the early days there.
If that's the case, then everybody has done their job. Because Bill Finger, Jerry Robinson, and Bob Kane would be the first ones to tell you that the most direct, most primary influence on the creation of Batman, in addition to Zorro and Sherlock Holmes and the obvious suspects, was specifically the Shadow. And very recently, Tony Tollin, who publishes the new Shadow trade paperbacks that are reprinting every month the original pulp magazines, he, in his detective work, stumbled across a 1936 Shadow story that almost verbatim is the first Batman story, Case of the Chemical Syndicate, from 1939.
Wow.
And while Bill Finger always said that he borrowed from the Shadow in the creation of Batman, everybody assumed by borrowed he meant generally, but if you read the story, you'll see it is dramatically specific.
Mm. Wow.
It's amazing. It's an amazing find, and but it does point out just how directly influenced Batman and its creation was by the Shadow.
So you're going to go back and take another crack at a Shadow movie. You're going to do a Doc Savage movie. There was a Doc Savage movie many years ago that was not very good, very disappointing to those of us who love Doc Savage. And I have to ask you about this. Knowing that these things get recycled every so often, how long will it take before there will be another crack at doing a spirit movie, or will that ever happen?
That will remain to be seen. And one of the things I would always love to see happen at some point in time is an animated spirit taken directly out of the panels and pages of Will Eisner. That's always been a pet dream of mine.
Kind of the way that, I just drew a complete blank. Who's the animator who did Iron Giant who wanted to do that?
Was it Brad Bird?
Brad Bird, of course.
Yeah.
Who actually did a short mock-up of that, a short sample of that. That would be beautiful. And we only have a minute left. Do you have any thoughts on what went wrong with the spirit, and what could be done to correct it in the future if someone gets another shot at it?
No, I wouldn't even want to comment on that. I think filmmakers have specific ideas about what they want to do, what they want to make, and you need to be supportive of your filmmakers and their vision. And So I have no qualms whatsoever about that at all. I just would love to see, at some point in time, a direct version popping out of Will Eisner's panels, because to me they were always storyboards. And to me, reading it sometimes is like watching Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, with everything else, there's room for many interpretations of these characters. And some are more contemporary, and some are more retro, and there's a lot in between. And, you know, it's a subject of choice by filmmakers. And it's important to be supportive of whatever that vision might be.
Very fair answer, considering the situation and the position that you're in. I appreciate that. Well, folks, listen, you can find, let's return to the original subject, you can find Archie Comics at your neighborhood comic book store, in many supermarkets and drugstores around the world, at newsstands. I suspect that the Port Authority bus terminal in Manhattan, where I used to buy them with my grandfather. don't miss the current issue, Archie 604, in which Archie and Betty get married. That's on sale now. And Archie 605, which is probably days away, which takes the Riverdale gang even further into the future. And Michael, it's always fun to have you. You're a great guest. You have great stories. And thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
I appreciate it, Bob, and look forward to doing it again sometime soon.
That'd be wonderful. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And folks, for more original interviews with comic book creators, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Gene Colan, Joe Sinnott, Dennis Kitchen, Trina Robbins, Drew Friedman, and many more. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.